Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Now, we are going to kick off this hour with a good friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in a while. He was nice enough to hook me up with his book, The Last Olympian, and I haven't talked to him since I read it. Great book. Richie Kohler is with us on Scuba Radio right now. Richie, how are you, my friend?
Greg, I'm doing fine, a lot better than you, but
yes.
Obviously you've pulled through, and I know that scuba diving world, as well as me, are so glad that that's the case.
Well, I appreciate that, Richie, and I do have a pretty cool scar now, so I may have to lean on you to come up with some good stories to impress the chicks, okay?
Not a problem. And you know, sharks are our friends, so we can't bum wrap a shark.
No, won't be shark. We were talking about it last week. Maybe I was stabbed by a narwhal.
It could have been a mating ritual.
Okay, you go. All right, that's slightly disturbing too. So,
you were being challenged for the love of a female.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, it was a
that's
duel.
Better. You know where my mind went, so God help us. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about you. You know, this book, The Last Olympian, it's available now, a great story, and I assume you can get this on Amazon all over now, right? It's pretty much out there.
Absolutely. The book has been doing really, really well. I couldn't be happier. The story kind of transcends just a historical story about a shipwreck, because in the book I talk about the onset of diving. I mean, the guy who found the wreck was the father of all scuba divers. It was Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah.
And Jacques Cousteau had to borrow technology and equipment from commercial diving and apply it so that he could scuba dive Britannic. He was the first man. He found the wreck. He was the first guy to dive it. And in the 40 years since that epic moment that he located and dove the wreck, there have been scores of other explorers that have pushed the envelope to dive down to 400 feet and try to answer some of these questions about Titanic's sister ship.
Great stuff. Yeah, The Last Olympian, Titanic's Tragic Sister, Britannic. Now, you know, I picked this up at Beneath the Sea when you're giving your seminar on this, and I have read it, and it does document the history really, really well. It's really quite a story. I didn't realize all that historic stuff that, you know, you just referred to until I read it. But when you guys get into your expeditions, you are trying to push it farther and use the latest technology and kind of bring people along of what, you know, new developments in that world were available to you that you were able to apply to the wreck and learn new things of why it went down. But it's kind of a work in progress. It doesn't really finish. I'm not giving away any stuff about this, but it's kind of an ongoing story that you're continuing to this day. Am I right?
Well, you're absolutely right. And you know, to give the props, as they would say, to the people who come before us, every explorer takes a few steps in the footsteps, if you will, of the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was Cousteau, and then there was Kevin Gurr, and then there was people then diving it with rebreathers, and you know, in 2015, last year, I dove it in a submersible.
Right.
And then this year we went back, and I had a fantastic team, and I made even more dives in a submersible. And you know, although I am a diver at heart. I want to get wet, Greg. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
It is pretty awesome to be able to spend 6-8 hours on the bottom exploring this shipwreck, making not only a film about it and recording hours and hours of film, but just being able at the end of that to come straight to the surface, where if I was diving, I'm extremely limited. I can only do 45 minutes on the bottom, and then I got to pay for that by doing 6 hours of decompression.
Yeah.
So, you know, as an underwater explorer, I love the fact that there is a lineage to this shipwreck. There is a history of wonderful exploration. Most of my work has always been inside. That is my skill set, as a penetration diver going inside shipwrecks. And that's where the answers were.
Yeah.
That's where we had to go.
Yeah. Well, and you can only get so far with the submersible. Even if you're in there, you can, you know, cruise around the outside of it. But that's what you talk about in the book a lot, is you have to get down there. You have to get wet and get inside and explore these nooks and crannies that really answer the questions that you guys are trying to you know, trying to find the answers to, which is why this thing went down. And I don't know, in the book, you kind of, you know, zero in on something, but you don't quite answer everything. And I know that's why you're still exploring it. So without giving away the total plot of the next one, which I know you're working on a book or God knows movie or whatever. I mean, have you got the answers already, or you still got to plan some more trips to this Britannia?
Now, we have conclusively answered the question of why this ship has sank so quickly.
Yeah.
I am working with a fantastic group based out of Malta. The name of the company is the U-Boat Group, or U-Group, and it was them who I've been working with the last 2 years in their submersibles, as well as their diving bell. So one of the unique things is that I'm diving with two different submarines. I've got four divers in the water. We've got a diving bell. I got to tell you, this looks like a scene out of the movie The Abyss.
Yes.
It is unbelievable.
Well, you know,
that we are doing.
That is the movie that got me inspired to dive in the first place. Now, years later, I found out, like, hey, some of these scenes weren't even shot underwater. But, hey, it doesn't matter. And it was cool looking. And, yeah, I mean, I had that picture in my mind when I read your book. But diving the bell, and, I mean, it is very much deep water exploration, what you're doing. Because, by the way, the depth of the wreck is what, like 300-something, or what is it? How many feet?
Well, it's sitting in 400 feet of water. But, again, this is Titanic's sister ship. She is so big that even lying on her side, she comes up 100 feet off the seafloor. 10 stories tall.
Wow.
And nearly 900 feet long. The ship is almost 100% intact. All of the hallways, all of the doors, all of the staircases, everything is still there. And the shipwreck is protected, Greg.
Yeah.
It can't take anything. So much like Truck Lagoon or the Great Lakes, everything is there for the diver to look at, to document, and to photograph.
Yeah.
It is for me the best shipwreck dive in the world, for me.
Nice. Yeah, and it isn't deteriorating at the level as Titanic is, because Titanic's way deeper or something, and what, the water temp, or is it the water temp or depth, or both, that's keeping it intact to a certain extent, or what? What do you
think? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, Titanic is in an anaerobic environment, meaning no oxygen in the water. It's so deep, but it did break into two pieces on the surface, and they both plummeted 2.5 miles to hit the bottom of the ocean. And I got to tell you, that had an effect. Although we look at Titanic and we're amazed at how the bow section appears to be in good shape, she really isn't. She's buckled, and a lot of the decks are collapsed, and there is areas that are in really fantastic condition, and then there's other areas that have just broken down totally. Britannic, on the other hand, is very shallow, relatively speaking, only 400 feet of water, and it's warm water, and she's bathed by sunlight. Inside, though, is an anaerobic environment. Inside the ship, there is little to no oxygen and no water flow. Also, the outside of the ship is covered with a hard growth of coral and mussel shells that is, in a way, mummifying or protecting Britannic. And so here she is, an iron hull ship, that has been resting as of this year. November will be 100 years that Britannic has been laying on the seafloor.
Wow. And I would imagine, knowing you, you're planning a trip to just commemorate that. Am I right? Am I predicting the future?
There is a big event being held on the small island of Kia, which is not even 3 miles away from the resting place of the Britannic. And I am one of the, I was honored to be asked to be one of the speakers at this event, commemorating the event and, of course, remembering not only the 30 people who died in the sinking, but more tragically and poignant for me, my friend and mentor, Carl Spencer's passing on the wreck. He tragically died in an accident in 2009. So this event will be memorializing him as well as recognizing that this iconic ship is ready for people who want to go explore.
Absolutely. It's the mystery of the last Olympian, Titanic sister ship, Britannic, with Richie Kohler. We got more with him next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
You know, there are scuba-holics, and then there's people like Richie Kohler, which I think even take it to a whole new level. He's our guest right now on Scuba Radio. He's been diving the Britannic. You're planning to go to Malta and dive this thing again right now? Is that the deal, Richie, or what?
Well, in Malta, I'm working with a group called the U-Boat Group, who are part of the Russian Geographical Society, and it's their submersibles that we've been using, and they are making a film, a four-hour feature-length film. Basically, it's a historical docudrama about the story of Titanic's tragic sister, Britannic. Mm. And believe it or not, yours truly and my intrepid team of divers have somehow featured in this film.
Excellent.
It's not about us. It's about the story, and we're in the story.
Yeah.
So it's been a fantastic opportunity for me. I know you realize I've worked for television. It's not about access. It's not about being on TV. Sometimes it's about being part of something that's bigger than yourself. It's bigger than me and my dive team. It's about contributing to trying to fix broken history and sometimes answer questions that only divers with our unique equipment and skill set can answer.
Yeah. Well, anybody who's met Richie or seen him at some of the dive shows and saw one of his presentations will know that he's one of the most passionate divers or just people that you've ever met, and very generous with his time as well, just like he's spending it with us today. We appreciate it, Richie. And but yeah, I know you're not one of these big movie star guys, but God knows you belong in that category. And I know they keep talking about making Shadow Divers into a movie. That's still in development. You got this project. Will this be available in the U.S. like, what, in a couple years or something? Or do you have any idea what they're working on?
I do have an idea, and it is supposed to be airing this fall. I think that because it's the 100-year anniversary this November, everybody is scrambling to get out documentary films and or stories about Britannic. And so I know it's going to sound funny, but I've worked on a documentary. I've been part of a news program about it. Of course, as you mentioned, I wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
I've dedicated 10 years of my life to the story about Britannic, about diving inside and trying to figure out the mystery. And it's nice that here at the 100-year anniversary, it's all coming together for not only me, but many of the other explorers that I've been working with on this project.
Now, and that's this coming November, like in 2 months or next year?
No, this year.
Okay, so it's going to coincide with the DEMA show in Vegas. So
that is what I'm hoping. The minute that I get an air date, I can promise you it'll be all over social media. And Greg, you'll be the first person I call so that we can promote it amongst the dive community.
Well, awesome. I mean, you're doing all this crazy diving, this deep technical stuff, submersibles. Do you ever have a tendency to go, okay, let's just take a break. We're going to run to the Bahamas for a weekend.
Funny you should say that. I'm not going to tell you when, but I am going to the Bahamas very soon.
Okay.
With my wife.
Awesome.
And because I know you. You'll show up, and then I got a bunk mate. You know what
True.
I mean?
I'll totally ruin his family vacation. That's just what we do. Yeah.
You said something that I don't want people to. I want them to know who I really am. And the reality is, I love all diving. This past weekend, I was just up in Maine looking for shipwrecks, but no, they weren't in 400 feet of water at 2.5 miles. I was looking out on the shoals in less than 20 to 40 feet of water.
Nice.
Going out with my buddies, jumping with a single tank on our back, because I love diving. I don't care whether it's grabbing lobsters, finding old bottles, or trying to figure out the mystery of a 100-year-old shipwreck.
Yeah.
I love getting wet.
For sure, we have that in common. Yeah, and like I said, you're one of the most passionate people I've ever met. It's so cool to hang with Richie. Have you done any scallop diving lately? Isn't it season up there where you are, or what?
Yes, it is, and I saw lots of scallops up in Maine, and unfortunately, in Maine, you cannot grab either lobsters, which is the lobster capital of New England.
Yeah.
You can't take them by hand, and the scallop season in Maine is only in January, which is pretty cold up in New England, pal.
Right.
But in Massachusetts, I can grab scallops, and I have yet to get out with my buddies and go do that. So many dives, so little time.
True. So true. Now, let's get back to the movie thing. Now, I mentioned the Shadow Divers movie. What's the latest? Do you got any updates on that or any other movie projects you can tease us with today or no?
Well, Universal Studios is working on it. I have read one draft of a screenplay. It's very good, very exciting. My understanding is they're pushing it out to a couple of A-list actors, and now it's just a matter of, you know, God's grace and the all of the magic that goes on in making a movie all coming together. And who knows, maybe next year we'll all be sitting in the theater with a bucket of popcorn and watching Shadow Divers on the big screen.
Oh, that would be so awesome. You got to let me in on the premiere of that thing when they do it in Hollywood or whatever. Please let me weasel in somehow, okay, Richie?
I will keep you in mind, Greg.
Hire me as a key grip. I've always wanted to be a key grip. I have no idea what the hell they do, but I've always seen that on the trail. I was like, hey.
Somebody's got to hold all the keys.
There you go. That makes sense. Why didn't I think about it? All right, so you got the Shadow Divers thing. Anything else you can share? I mean, are you working on, you know, The Last Olympian book number two right now? Or
I am working a little bit of a different angle. The book that I'm working on right now, the working title is Out of the Blue. And my life has been incredible. I've had such great fortune from diving. Everything that has happened to me, whether it was working on television, the opportunity to go to Titanic, and then, of course, Britannic, all of these things kind of literally came out of the blue, not only because I didn't even saw them coming, but it's because the other end of it is I love to go deep. Obviously, you're going into darker water, going into shipwrecks or going into caves. You're out of the blue. You're into the black. And a more ominous part of this is that sometimes there have been accidents. And those accidents came to those people, again, out of the blue. I would like to think that this book is a cautionary tale so that people who want to know about pushing the envelope, about going further as explorers, there have been people that paid the ultimate price. And they weren't stupid people. They just made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing we can do is to honor them by learning from their mistakes. That you can never take this light. Always got to continue your education. And never go beyond your abilities or training.
Well, it sounds like a cautionary tale, an interesting storyline, and something you can learn from. So a win-win-win all the way around. Richie, thank you so much. Always a pleasure catching up with you, my friend. And if people want to connect with you, what is it, RichieKohler.com?
That's correct, yeah. RichieKohler.com.
We look forward to the new book, movies, God knows what else, and we'll keep everybody informed accordingly. And we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I was telling you about this bill that Bill Nelson and Marco Rubio have submitted as part of a sport fishing bill that potentially could ban shark diving in federal waters. We're monitoring that as best we can, and hopefully I'll have some more updates for you next week or the week thereafter. And you can Google all this stuff and find out about it. But we are, you know, following that story. But let's focus on something a little bit more positive. You know, movies come and go. And usually when it comes to sharks, they suck, especially for the sharks and the image that they portray. However, my good friend George Montero is on Scuba Radio right now, who's trying to change that. George, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So this movie that you're working on is called The Shark Whisperer. And I don't know, you had this movie that in production about Jonah and the whale. And I thought this was kind of a modification of that, but it's not. This is a totally new thing. Am I right?
Yeah, this is a separate film. The other film is still in progress and is being developed by a production company out of Jacksonville right now.
Yeah.
And it may be in production by the beginning of next year. But in the meantime, I'm an underwater filmmaker, and yeah, I can't sit by and wait for other people to, you know, do my job for me. So I've been writing other scripts. And lately, you know, I've always had a love for sharks. Stuart Cove introduced me to diving with sharks many years ago. And so I decided to write another script about sharks to show sharks in a positive light because, as you know, movies from Jaws to Sharknado to now The Shallows, you know, they depict sharks as these evil monsters who want nothing more than to eat people alive.
Yeah.
And you and I know that's not the facts. That's not the case. These are incredible creatures, and they deserve our respect and protection. And I've learned through the past that movies can have a deep impact on people's psyches, people's attitudes.
Absolutely. And he's looking to change that with the Shark Whisperer. We're going to tell you how you can check this out. Maybe you can be a part of it or something in the future. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Going face to face, or face to snout, I suppose, with a giant shark. The woman who shot this video tells us the folks who helped her into that cage hope to change shark's reputation as a vicious man-eater.
There's some sharks in that water, that water, that water. You can't swim in that water, that water, that water. You won't win in that water, that water, that water. There's some sharks in that water, that water, that water. You won't win in that water.
Oh, you can go in the water fine if you want to dive with them. We love doing that as scuba divers. When we see sharks, we love to do these shark dives. We love to see them in their natural environment, and it's truly an honor to be able to witness that firsthand. Unfortunately, most people don't get that or have that opportunity that we do, and the next best way to do it is to see it in a film or a TV documentary or something like that. George Montero specializes in that stuff. He has a new movie in the works called The Shark Whisperer, and right now you're basically, what would you consider this, pre-production, I guess? Is that what it is?
Yeah, pre-production and development. We've already shot some footage with Stuart Cove over in Tiger Beach.
Right.
And got some just amazing shots of Liz Parkinson swimming and riding on the back of giant tiger shark.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable when you see the footage. Matter of fact, I was over in the Bahamas. I think she had just done it, and Fraser was over there. She was there. Stuart was there, and they were telling me what they had gotten, and I guess you incorporated some of that footage into this trailer that you produced for your website, which everybody can see right now. Where can they go? Where is it? Seacam or is it the Shark Whisperer? Yeah, or what is it?
It's all available on the Seacam website, and that's Seacam, SEA-CAM.com.
Okay.
And right on the homepage, there is a link to the Shark Whisperer. And click on it. You can see the trailer and some back behind the scenes footage of Liz diving with the shark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable footage in its own right. I mean, kind of, you know, Liz is kind of a shark whisperer herself. I don't know. Is this written or is the idea about her? Because she does all this crazy stuff with Stuart over in the Bahamas there, other day.
I actually wrote a screenplay, another screenplay about sharks that she and Stuart were also in. But this is a fictional story, and it's a story of a little girl who makes friends with a shark and grows up to find herself at odds with the commercial fishing community and illegal shark finners. And it points out, you know, the threat to sharks around the world. They're being killed by the tens of millions now for nothing more than a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
If you want to put it bluntly.
Mm-hmm.
So with Shark Whisperer, although it's a fictional story, other fictional stories like Flipper and Free Willy have had a tremendous effect on our attitudes towards dolphins and killer whales. I mean, killer whales were, you know, considered devil fish. They were people were horrified of them now. And now they're, you know, have a totally different image because of movies like that. So
true. I mean, they were killer whales, you know.
Yeah,
remember that movie Orca and Orca 2 and, you know, and Free Willy comes out and next thing you know, they're warm and cuddly creatures that were wanting to protect in ways and let them out of marine parks. It's crazy what has happened with orcas and killer whales. And it's a good thing. And yeah, you're right. I could see this, you know, trying to turn this tide with sharks. We've been doing it with shark diving for years. Obviously, that hasn't broken through enough. And we still have that constant fight with the public.
Firsthand.
What's that? Say it again.
People get to experience it firsthand.
Yes. They do. And when you see them up close and personal like that, it does change. But everybody can't see them like that. So, no. You know, using the medium that you specialize in film, I think is a great effort in its own right. Now, this idea, I mean, was this a storyline that you just kind of came up with and thought, hey, this would work, and you developed it yourself? Or how did that come to be?
I've written a number of screenplays, and my love, of course, is the ocean. So I try to do things that are, you know, around my areas of greatest interest. And, you know, since I love the ocean, I love sharks, and since I saw this need that, as you say, people have a very skewed attitude towards sharks, and as a result, nobody raises an eyebrow when tens of millions of sharks are killed around the world. And so that was kind of the concept. And I knew when growing up, when I saw Flipper, I mean, I fell in love with dolphins. All I wanted to do was swim with a dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want kids to go out and jump in the water and chase after sharks. That's not the goal of this movie. But
right. At
the same time, I want to paint them in a realistic light so that, you know, they're not vilified. Even to today, I mean, they are the villains. They are the quintessential villains of the movies. If you want to make money, you should put a shark in it and have it chase some people around, and you know, or fly through the air in tornadoes.
Right. Well, at least on that side, it's more absurd. But, you know, things like the Shallows, I mean, that was just, oh, my gosh. I was so angry about that movie, and I just did not like the message it sent, even though they tried to spin it during Shark Week. Ugh. It just drove me crazy, George. I don't know if you felt that way, but
I didn't go to see it, honestly.
Yeah, well, I had to. I just felt I had to sacrifice my 2 hours so other people wouldn't have to.
Yeah, and here's another thought. You know, I've made a lot of documentaries over the years, mm-hmm. and the thing that I've discovered is that documentaries tell a story about what happens, and, you know, it can show you the negatives and the positives and so forth, but fictional stories involve you emotionally.
Yes.
And I think especially for young people, when they get emotionally attached to a creature, that has a lifelong effect. And
sure.
that affects their choices in the future about what they eat, what they wear, you name it. And so you know, in this part of my career, you know, I want to do stuff that makes a difference.
Sure.
And I think Shark Whisperer will make a difference.
Well, I think it's a great effort for sure. Let's talk about the technicality of shooting a film like this, because I see on the trailer, you know, the trailer itself is worth watching because just the footage that you've captured with Liz and the tiger shark is phenomenal. A lot of people would look at that and say, oh, surely that's CGI or something. That didn't really happen. But, I mean, you can do this. I mean, you don't recommend other people jumping in the ocean and trying to swim with tiger sharks, but people are doing this in different places of the world and doing it safely and every day and finding relationships with particular critters that they can do some pretty amazing things. And I know you're talking about incorporating that type of presentation into this film. So are you going to do CGI too, or is it all going to be live action or what?
It will be primarily live action, and it will be primarily real stunt divers diving with real sharks. Mm-hmm. But there are scenes with a little girl and sharks that'll have to be CGI.
Sure.
And we're not going to put anybody at risk.
Right.
And our actors, you know, for insurance reasons, we can't put them at risk. But a lot of these, there's a lot of Hollywood celebrities that have actually gone diving with sharks, you know, in their spare time. So they're aware of what's going on. And I'm hoping to enlist some of their, you know, some really well-known talent into the film and that share our desire to protect sharks.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great idea. Have you reached out to any folks like that yet, or is it still too early?
Yes, I'm beginning to. I spoke to an agent yesterday for someone that will remain unmentioned, but, you know, as a common, you know, well-known talent.
Yeah.
And I think as we move forward and they see the, you know, the footage and the message, it's not a high-budget Hollywood feature film. It's under $1 million budget.
Okay.
But at the same time, and a lot of the people involved, Stuart Cove and Spencer Slate and myself, are doing this as a labor of love, you know, putting their sweat equity into it, hoping maybe somewhere down the line we'll get paid back. But our ultimate goal is to, you know, save sharks and and create something that will have a lasting impact.
Yeah, well, and the footage is top-notch. I mean, you know, when you mentioned the budget might be low as far as Hollywood standards, I mean, I know what you guys do. You guys shoot for the big boys, and it's apparent, you know, just in the trailer that you've put together for the Shark Whisperer. But there at Stewart Cove, you're going to shoot it there, and you're going to work down there with Captain Slate, maybe, down in Key Largo?
Right. We're going to show his creature feature. I'm hoping Slate will actually be in the film.
Of course, he should be. He should be a star character.
He is. And yeah. the story includes him in the storyline as the mentor of the Shark Whisperer, who trained her to, you know, befriend the creatures of the reef. So we're trying to create a grassroots community kind of, you know, emphasis on this film so that everybody in the dive industry and the maybe the swimwear and the travel keys and Bahamas travel industries will all pitch in a little bit to make this thing a reality.
So right now you're in the process of what, getting backers, or you already?
We're getting ready to launch a fundraising campaign, a crowdfunding campaign for a small portion of the budget, but enough to cover some of the out-of-pocket expenses.
Okay.
And then we're going to seek out corporate sponsors that want to be associated with the message. There are a lot of companies that could benefit by being associated with a positive environmental message like this.
I love it. I think it sounds great. The Shark Whisperer, if you go to c-cam.com, you can find out about this and his other movie, Jonah and the Whale. George, thank you so much. Great stuff, and we wish you the best with this project, my friend.
Okay, great. I really appreciate it. And that's sea-cam.com.
There you go. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba. Scuba diver. Scuba, 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 ooba. Scuba, dooba, ooba, hobba. Scuba. Scuba diver.
We are going to round out today's two-hour radio spectacular before I head off to Alaska. with the Dive God. He is in not South Florida. He is, well, he's went farther than South Florida. He's went to Brazil. Neil, come in, Neil. Let's see if this works. Are you with me, Neil?
Hey, brother.
Hey, I got you.
Oi, to the bag. How are you doing?
Excellent. Well, good. Well, how are things in Brazil? That's pretty cool that you're down there.
Unbelievable.
That yeah? You just,
unbelievable. I'm in Natal. I'm in Natal in Brazil, which is a beautiful, beautiful area of the country. Actually, they got some great diving down here and snorkeling. Yeah, having a ball. I actually am down for a friend's wedding, and there's like 200 of the closest friends going to be down here.
Very nice.
And after the wedding, we're going to be at Reed Fest in the Keys, right?
Yeah, well, a week from today, October 1st, I believe, there in the Florida Keys. Yeah, Reef, Environmental Education Foundation. They are going to be hosting their annual gala. I don't know what they call it exactly, but if you go to reef.org and get all the details, Scuba Cowboy is going to be down there performing. I'm going to try to make it down. I got to go to Alaska first, so I got a pretty tight schedule, but we'll see how it works. But no tighter than the Dive God. He's in, you know, Brazil. If I can do that, I can do Alaska and then down to the Keys, I guess, right?
Hey, man, I got to get back from Brazil, and before I go to Reef Fest, Stuart Cove is getting inducted into the International Scuba Diving Hall of Fame in Cayman.
Ah.
And I'm going to try to shoot down for that for Friday night because Peter Hughes got it last year. I got it the year before.
Right.
So I'm going to try to go down for the night for that, come back, and then drive down to the Keys, meet with you. Actually, I'm doing a giveaway to a trip to Bimini, you know, for the Reef Fest thing.
Excellent.
So I've done it the last couple of years, and it's really grown into something that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a great job.
Yeah, I have not been able to get down there yet, but I think I'm going to try to sneak down there next week if the week pans out correctly. Well, like I said, I got to figure out this travel schedule. I haven't been to Alaska before, so I got to make sure they're going to get me back in time and all that kind of stuff. But one way or another, we're going to cover it. And if you're down there in that neck of the woods next weekend, make sure you go be a part of it because it's a great dinner. You can get a ticket, and it supports a great cause. What, Neil?
Well, I suggest you get back because it just so happens that I have your credit card number.
Uh-oh.
And all the drinks are going to be on you while I'm down in the Keys if you don't get back.
Oh, okay.
So there's an incentive.
Well, that is incentive. And yes, he does have my credit card number left over from our last adventure in Cuba. So, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not really worried because I know what my credit limit is. So, you know.
Okay. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. Now, the thing over in Cayman, was that during the week or is that like leading up to the weekend? You're going to do that like Thursday, Friday, and then head over?
It's Friday night. I'm going to try to, I'll probably go on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And then do the awards thing Friday night, get an early flight Saturday, and drive straight down to the Keys for the big party Saturday night.
All right, yeah. Well,
and then try to hang out and do some diving on Sunday.
That sounds like a great great time. Now, while you're in Brazil, I know you're there for a wedding. Are you going to try to sneak in a snorkel or a dive, or you're going to be too busy socializing?
Absolutely, no. I mean, I got a couple of days before I come back. So yeah, I'm gonna try to get wet while I'm down here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some neat stuff down here.
Yeah.
And huge, population of divers, and they are serious, big time serious divers.
Now, are you close to Rio, where they did the Olympics, or are you totally different area? Where are you at down there?
No, I'm maybe probably an hour away from that on kind of a different part of the shore. Actually, it's the closest point to Africa, and there's a very famous island just off of Natal. That's the biggest dive resort in Brazil, and actually they limit the number of people that can even go there. It's very environmentally friendly, but
nice.
Some spectacular diving.
Well, do you got to be careful of the Zika or no? Do they got it down there where you are or no?
Hey man, I'm in South Florida. We got more. I got more at home. I came to Brazil to get away from Zika.
Good point. Good point. Yes. Well, I don't think it would affect Neil anyway. He's probably been stung by so many mosquitoes over the years.
I mean, the biggest danger is impregnating somebody, so I'm going to take my chances.
Oh, boy. Yes, that's so true. With the dive god, you never know. You never know. But I think he takes precautions. He takes the proper precautions. Yeah. God bless him. All right. Well, I want to hear all about whatever dives you do down there in Brazil. And obviously, hats off to Stuart for getting in the International Diving Hall of Fame in the Caymans. You can cover that base for me as well. I wish I could come to that. I know I can't make that. But I'm going to see what I can do to get down and support our friends at Reef next week. And I encourage anyone else who has the time to head down that way to do the same. I mean, they have a huge dinner. You were at it last year. I mean, they sell tickets to this thing, and it's a cool event.
It's great. I mean, it was great, and it's a lot of fun and a great cause. And I mean, they do an amazing job. And the Keys just rocks. I mean, I love the Keys. And I expect to see you there.
Well, I'll do my best.
I'm saving you a spot at my table.
Yeah, well, as long as I don't get eaten by a grizzly bear in Alaska, maybe I'll be okay to make it down there. I'll give it my best shot, my friend. Look forward to seeing you. And you enjoy yourself in Brazil, right. And we'll catch up next week, okay?
Okay, brother. Stay warm.
Yes, I'll do my best. And that'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, it is always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everyone.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the mud here, under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.